And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
BSBOT, some number, one of the last ever public-facing BSBOTs. If you were not listening every week, and maybe you just popped on for this one, I'm not sure why, our BSBOTs will be going behind our Patreon paywall in 2 weeks. Yes, the dreaded paywall! Gregory, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. I am building that wall.
Build that, build the wall. Build the wall. We're independent. We can do whatever we want. Isn't that fun? not too much to talk about with the Ranger game. Tell you that. We are recording a little bit early because usually we do this after the game. Gregory last week had a wedding. I will be seeing my in-laws. I know. We'll be celebrating Christmas and Thanksgiving back to back and not in that order. So I will not be able to record after the Devils game on Thursday night. So there you go. There's my excuse now that we're got that out of the way. Igor Shesterkin has his first ever shutout as a New York Ranger. Puchnevich scores what is allegedly, the 20,000 goal in NHL, New York Ranger history. Artemi Panarin scores a goal, and breaks Mark Messier's 100-game record. That's pretty much the entire takeaway from the game, with the exception that Steve Valiquette is an absolute wizard who projected that they would have a shutout at the end of the game. The Devils played okay. Igor Shesterkin played better. There's really not a lot to take away. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about Kravtsov's time on ice. Is there anything that you wanted to get out of the way as like, that was something interesting I saw?
No.
Yeah.
It was cut and dry. Not a whole lot you could really learn from that game specifically. It's still nuts. I understand that Shesterkin is still shy of like 40 career games.
Yes.
But it's still crazy that last night was his first shutout.
Yeah,
that,
he should have had many before.
The mind a little bit.
Yeah.
How many times we've said that he's played exceptionally well. So it's just crazy that the amount of times he's played exceptionally well, which are more often than not, that a goal has still gotten behind him. It's a little nuts bar to think about.
I believe there were still 7 exceptionally high danger chances that Shesterkin faced last night, and he stopped them all. So, congratulations to Igor Shesterkin, who has his first of hopefully many, 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 many shutouts for the New York Rangers. He has a long way to go to quick catch Hank, probably never will. And there we go. The Devils game, I really don't. Sometimes we come on this podcast, and I'm like, man, I learned so much from that game. I know that we could take away so many different aspects of what we could talk about Quinn, the certain player development, but there really isn't. I didn't learn too much because the Devils game, the Devils team that we were playing against is now officially the youngest team in the league, and they made Brett Howden look dangerous at some points. That's the best way I can describe them. There was time where Brett Howden created ice and space for himself, and that has not really happened at all this season. So they are a team that's going to struggle, and we're going to play them 3 more times this week, Greg. I don't even know like what we'll be able to learn about this team, except for you're going to want the Rangers to win 3 more times if you want to believe in the 6% chance of them winning, of them making the playoffs. And you're going to have to root hand over fist for the Buffalo Sabres, who hired a new assistant GM today, and then also have news for their captain, Jack Eichel, which we will discuss in a second. But that's really what you're rooting for right now. You're rooting for the Buffalo Sabres to kick ass, and you're rooting for the Rangers to continue doing what they're doing to the New Jersey Devils. And just answer me this, Greg. Do you see a situation where, I guess, there is a back-to-back on the weekend, right? Saturday, Sunday. So that would be Igor's going to start every game, except that one of those games is going to be either Georgiev or Keith, right?
Yeah. But that's been pretty well established for the last couple of weeks at this point.
Yep.
The only start Georgiev has gotten recently was on the back end of a back-to-back. And there was even the opportunity for Quinn to stick with Georgiev because, one, he played really well against the Islanders, and two, he has a history against the Islanders of just domination.
He does.
So if there was ever a time where Quinn was going to play not the hot hand, but the the sexy pick,
yeah,
because of all the circumstances surrounding him, it would have been that second Islander game, and he still went with Igor. So it is firmly Igor's net, and it's going to remain firmly Igor's net for the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll talk about this with our friend Jeff in the coming days, maybe on next week's BSBOT when this four-game series is all said and done. But it's not just that this is the youngest forward group in the NHL now. It's that, unlike with the Rangers and their children, these are children who are legitimately – they're coming in here without background in terms of prospect status, right?
The pedigree. Like,
yeah.
Like Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier, of course. Like, they have the pedigree.
Take away Hughes, Hischier, Bratt, the guys that we've seen around a lot. But, like, Yanni Kukanin, he's a guy that's trying to prove he can play in this league. Mikhail Maltsev, same thing. Sharon Govich, same thing. Tyce Thompson, these are all guys that they are trying to establish whatever their NHL futures will be, and there is no future promised for any of them. So while part of that is very exciting if you're the New Jersey Devils, because you're essentially giving open tryouts to players to allow them to earn spots for you in the long term, it should be clean picking for the Rangers, a team that not just on paper is better than the Devils, but the product itself is better than the Devils in every stretch of the imagination. It will be. I know a lot of people have said the Rangers need to get 6 of 8 points. I'll be honest, if they get less than 7, it kind of seems like a failure.
It does.
And there's just no room for error at this point.
There is none, and there was some struggles for the New York Rangers last night. It was one of the most lopsided 1-0 games I've seen through two periods, where the Rangers had, I think, exceptionally like 7 or 8, what I thought, great goal scoring chances in the first, and the second was sort of a dud. But to have it that be a 1-goal game going into a third had me like, oh wow, the New York Rangers hockey experience. I can't believe we're doing this yet again. The Rangers have to, you know, when you want to be a great team, and let's not beat around the bush here. You and I think the window opens next year, at least partially. The air is going to be starting to flow in. If you want to develop into that great team, you got to put your foot down. And this Devils team, as you stated, is not in any... Can you name one facet of their game that's superior to the New York Rangers? I can't name one. Yeah, they're professional hockey players.
It's tough.
Everyone gets paid, you know? But
it... Well, it's difficult. As superior than the Rangers, no. But, I mean, I'm still a big Nico fan.
Yeah.
And I still... Obviously, Jack Hughes is... fantastic as well.
Jack, you shit on my lawn. Yeah, whatever. Talk shit about him, he does it. So,
yeah, sure does.
Absolutely.
Like, that's a very good 1-2 down the middle, where if you were trying to start from scratch,
mm-hmm.
hard to think of a better top two centers that you'd rather start down the middle with than those two.
Yeah, it's like the Oilers and then probably.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm sure there are others as well that we're not thinking of.
I'm trying to think of relatively young two centers. I don't know. Obviously, McDavid and Draisaitl stand out in that situation.
Draisaitl, is he? I thought he was a winger.
Doesn't he also play center? Am I crazy?
I don't know. Who gives a shit?
He plays with McDavid all the time. Okay. Yeah. people yell at us.
Good for them. Enjoy Edmonton. I hear it's lovely.
He does play left wing. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Superior than the Rangers, no.
No, it says he plays center too. I'm an idiot. Whatever.
You're talking yourself in circles here.
Yep.
You just good for Edmonton is all you had to say. yeah, they're not. The defense is a problem. They have to pay PK Subban $9 million next year. I mean, the good news is they have
$43 million. Is what you're saying?
They're paying Nico right now. They have $50 million in cap space today. I know that's not actual. Real cap space that they have. It's more cap space than the fucking Tampa Bay Lightning have, though. I'll tell you that right now. Are the Lightning just borrowing cap space from the Devils?
Yeah.
Is that how the Lightning are able to sign all these guys?
Tampa Bay Lightning are cheating. Yep, we got it out of the way.
Fucking cheating. Unbelievable. Yep. Fucking chodes.
Wow. Hey,
you know what? You know what I am happy to say to the goddamn Tampa Bay Lightning that I haven't been able to say for a couple weeks, months, even a year?
Yeah.
Suck a dick, Tampa Bay. Like, get fucked. Like the hardest pounding of fucked you've ever gotten in your life. That's what Tampa Bay
is. It's so funny because I was happy for them when they won the cup, obviously, with the Ryan McDonagh and and former Rangers down there. Dan Girardi, obviously not on the team at that point in time, but I was happy. I've been happy for former Rangers that go down south and win a cup. It's a nice feeling, but
it's not the players' fault they're cheating.
Yeah, it's true.
But at the same time, it's what came first, the Astros or the trash can. That's kind of the situation we're dealing with in
Astros
Tampa Bay now,
the
too.
Trash can. Yep, it's true.
Did you just try to sing the beats to me there, buddy?
I did. I didn't try. I'm embarrassed now. Let's move on.
Okay.
The situation in Buffalo. Mm. I think this is important to talk about because twofold, two different things here. With first things first, we have Mr. Kravtsov. Mr. Young Kravtsov, as Mr. Sam Rosen keeps calling him that, which I really do love. He never really called Kapokako or Young Kapokako, but Young Kravtsov continually comes from him, which is great. He's played a tremendous first couple games. Listen, small sample size, whatever you want to say, blah, 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 blah. Dude looks like an NHL player. Has really come to play and has been super noticeable and has played not only on every single line once, but twice now, Gregory, where he's been bingo line every single game. Quinn moves him up and down the whole time. Clearly is giving him, I know he led the first period in ice time, so everyone can clap for Quinn for doing that. Now, Jack Eichel, on the other hand, we've talked about these two players linked together many times over the past couple months. We've always sort of said, and I think we've been on kind of record, that we believe the package for Jack Eichel, if it does happen for the New York Rangers, will be similar, something like Nils Lundqvist, Kravtsov, and a pick or two, and maybe another prospect, which would be what it would take to get a top 10 center in the NHL. Jack Eichel went under surgery today. I believe he had a herniated disc in his neck. Is that correct? I'm trying to make sure I have this right. I'll follow up with myself in a second.
That is correct.
I'm not a medical doctor. I wanted to make sure, but that doesn't sound great to me. He's expected to make a full recovery and be ready by next season. There, to me, and I've spoken to some people about this, there are concerns about Jack Eichel looming. The surgery maybe makes it teams a little bit more wary of obtaining him, despite the talent. With the emergence of Kravtsov already performing like an NHL player, with the accolades that Neil Lundqvist gets, have you wavered at all on the package going to the possible package that we proposed here on Blue Shirts Breakaway going to Buffalo, possibly for Jack Eichel this summer?
No. Yeah, Vitaly Kravtsov, regardless of how well he plays for the New York Rangers, I will have no hesitation to put him in a trade for Jack Eichel. Same goes for Nils Lundqvist. Same goes for the next two first-round draft picks that the New York Rangers haven't even made yet. Same goes for Ryan Strome. If it takes all of those pieces to get Jack Eichel, done and done. It would be like, if you asked me, do I think Joe Burrow is still going to be a very good NFL quarterback despite the fact that he blew out his knee in his rookie season? Yeah, I'm still very confident that Joe Burrow is going to be a very good quarterback, whether it's with the Cincinnati Bengals or wherever. I get it. They're never ideal to get a neck surgery. Don't care how old you are. Don't care the circumstances surrounding it. At the same time, I think it's going a step a little too far to worry about it in the degenerative category that we've seen with other notable athletes, you know, the David Wrights, the Peyton Mannings, those kind of guys. Those surgeries also happened much later in their careers.
Right. Eichel, still very young.
Yeah, and we don't know the severity of the herniated disc. I'll be quite honest. I'm not saying the Sabres are lying. I believe that Jack Eichel is getting surgery for a herniated disc in his neck. But I also would be certain that if the Sabres were better this season, either Jack Eichel got this surgery earlier and he's back on the ice by now, or this is maybe not a surgery Jack Eichel worries about in the moment. The conspiracy theorist in me is just running wild. I said this when Eichel first left the lineup, that Eichel told the Sabres he was hurt and was less actually hurt. He knew that he didn't want to literally or figuratively or both put his neck on the line for this team because his team's a fucking dumpster.
That was a good way to put it.
Yeah. I don't know if I would go so far to say that this injury scares me off Eichel. Do I think it could possibly lower the price on him a little bit? Maybe. I would take the opportunity to take that chance.
If I'm the New York Rangers, I'm calling, which I'm sure Buffalo knows is going to happen.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, once again, another trade deadline is come and gone. And once again, I'm yet to see a situation in which I'm to think this Buffalo Sabres front office is going to get maximum value for one of their own assets. I'm knocking on that door every day and twice on Sunday. The surgery doesn't bother me. I think the circumstances surrounding the surgery lend more questions about the Buffalo Sabres than they do Jack Eichel. I think it's easy to forget about what exactly Jack Eichel is at his peak because it's been a while now since we've seen it. All these things add up to good things for the New York Rangers if you're talking about trying to trade for someone, a star, mind you, for 40 cents on the dollar. Eat it up all day. I'm here for it. The Ranger fans that are now saying that they have some pause about wanting to trade for Jack Eichel, I think you're kidding yourself a little bit. I really do. I think you're overthinking the situation. You're going a little too far. It sounds a lot like the Met fans who are like, well, you know, Francisco Lindor didn't have a good 2020, so I don't know if I really want to trade for him. Okay, in a bullshit COVID season, he had a bullshit year. Talk to me at the end of this year or next year, and then let me know how you feel. I'm making the trade. I no hesitation about it. Kravtsov's look great. It's not a knock at all on Kravtsov.
No, he looks
great
awesome.
For him. Great for the Rangers. The Rangers still have too many wingers. Got to move one of them.
Yeah, and Gauthier can't even play in this lineup right now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I feel bad for Gauthier.
Me too, because I do think he's talented, dude. I really do.
I do as well. I think he's – I don't know if he's ever going to reach a star level. I don't know if he's even going to be like a guy that scores 20 goals a season. But he's a very useful hockey player that should be in someone's starting lineup. The Rangers just have an insane amount of wingers.
Yeah,
so they can't play him.
And I know Brett Howden's playing because he's Brett Howden. I get that. It's just a situation where it's like, well, we'll get to Gauthier in a second. Let's finish up on this Jack Eichel thing. I pause just, I don't want to say relatively, momentarily, less than whatever those two are with the Jack Eichel thing. I'm still with you, and I think I still give the package up. I think it might take less than what you're saying. I think my Spidey senses were up when they signed Zach Jones. Now, I know they signed Zach Jones. We talked to Molly Walker on Monday. And it's been reported since by Vince also saying that they were afraid he was going to go become a UFA. So they wanted to sign him early and burn a year. Totally understand. But that also makes me think, hey, Zach Jones can't say no to be traded to Buffalo now. And listen, I'm sure Zach Jones is a great player. Maybe he's going to be a Ranger the next 10 years. I don't know. But that means he is now officially a piece that can be traded to Buffalo, who Buffalo cannot say, well, this guy's not going to sign with us because I have to tell you, I think a lot of these prospects would maybe forego playing in Buffalo right now due to the situation. So maybe Zach Jones is part of that. Maybe it's less. Maybe they don't even trade Nils Lundqvist. Maybe Kravtsov's not part of it. Maybe it's Buchnevich. Maybe Buchnevich is the odd man out. I do think no matter what happens in this situation, the Rangers are going to make an offer for Jack Eichel. And if the Buffalo Sabres don't say yes, they're going to have I'm sure they have backup plans B, C, and D all ready to go for maybe lesser centers and then maybe extending Strom or Mika in the long run. But the package is going to be there, and the two teams that are going to go after Eichel, and we know this for a fact at this point pretty much, is the New York Rangers and the Kings. I still don't see the Kings doing it because of their young center depth that they have, and I don't think they trade Byfield at all for even Turcotte for Eichel at this point. And I'm very curious to see how this summer plays out because, as you know, everything's on the table, Greg.
Well, the other thing with the Kings is the Kings aren't as far along in their rebuild as the Rangers.
Not even close.
The Rangers are there, or at least they think they're there, which is all that matters. The Kings have more of an argument for rolling this over for one more year because a bunch of the kids still need to get some NHL ice under their feet before they can clearly say, all right, we're ready for the next step. Whether you think Alexis Lafreniere is having a good season or not, the fact of the matter is next year will be his second full NHL season, which is an advantage that he has over Byfield, Turcotte, mm-hmm. and all the children in Los Angeles. Kako will have 3 full years under his belt. Filippito will be entering year 4. There are a lot of things working in the Rangers' favor with timelines, even for their young players, that the Kings just don't have. So while I expect that the Kings easily, like you said, could come close or top a package that the Rangers offer, the difference is the Rangers have more impetus to make the trade, and I think that will work in their favor when push comes to shove, essentially.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about Gauthier and some other stuff. Transition.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, we're back. All right. So let's talk about Gauthier, because I there's something else I want to bring up with him. Is he at this point in your mind, because he sort of is in mine, the guaranteed Seattle pick?
No.
Really?
I think he'll be. I don't see a scenario in which the Rangers protect him.
No, he will not be protected.
Would he be the guy I choose? Yeah, probably, because again, it's going to be him, Howden, Hayek, these kind of guys.
Maybe Rooney, Blackwell. Yep.
Yeah, we live in a world where I mean, Clicks King himself said that he believes Lieber Hayek is having a good year. While I don't think that
Lieber Hayek's had Larry a good Brooks, two games, by the way, I'll say that. I'm going to give the Kayak some credit. He's had a good last two games. There you go.
I'm not even sure I'll say that. He scored a goal. That doesn't mean he had a good game. I'm not going to be here and say stuff like Larry Brooks is smarter than all of us, because I don't believe that. But I also believe that someone with the mind of Larry Brooks, that is not an unpopular opinion among the 200 hockey men circle. Now, we know that Seattle is pretty cutting edge when it comes to their front office. We know the people in there are very analytic savvy, and we have the reason to believe that maybe their processes are very different from that of Larry Brooks. But all it takes is one Larry Brooks in the room to say, Lieber Hayek, young defenseman with 100 NHL games under his belt, seemed to be coming into form as the season ended. Maybe he's a guy that not only we select, but it's a piece we can dangle in other moves, blah, blah, blah. Would I choose Lieber Hayek over Julian Gauthier? Absolutely not. I don't think a lot of the statistical community in which follows the New York Rangers would also take Lieber Hayek over Julian Gauthier. But I also can't sit here and say that the percentage chance is zero. I think the other thing to keep in mind that, you know, we don't talk a lot about from our perspective, it's going to depend on what the other 29 players available from other teams look like too.
Yeah, that's
true. Will there be more wingers than centers? Will there be more defensemen than wingers? Will the Rangers be further down the pecking order in the Seattle's mind?
Oh, we are.
When it comes to getting the pieces that they want?
My man, I think the Rangers are the bottom of the barrel for Seattle. They're the last thought on their list.
Well, I don't think last thought, because I do think the Rangers players are going to be young, which I don't think other teams, it's going to be the same case. But, like, would the presence of a James Van Riemsdyk being made available by Philadelphia prevent Seattle from wanting to take Julian Gauthier? Like, if you're shopping in the high-end district with the other teams and you're getting wingers with pedigree or defensemen with pedigree, I think it then changes the calculus a little bit to what you get with the New York Rangers. So some of it is, all right, who's the best player available the Rangers are going to make available? I think it's going to be Julian Gauthier. But if you and I were doing it, I think you and I would just literally choose best player available from every team. If you end up with 12 centers,
we'll figure
not
it
a
out.
Bad problem to have. You can trade them away later.
Yep.
But maybe Seattle sees the first half of their expansion draft as best player available, and then it's best value from there in terms of, all right, we have some positional need. We have some other organizational needs we need to meet. Do we want to go in this direction and get someone who might be a little less valuable in the vacuum than the other, but helps us build that depth we need in order to get to our end goal in our first season? It's a balancing act right now. And I think until we see exactly who is going to be made available from every team, it would be us continuing to say that Julian Gauthier is the best player that's likely to be made available by the New York Rangers. But again, I can't sit here and say for sure that there won't be six other wingers better than Gauthier available in this expansion draft, which means, do you want to take a forward that wouldn't likely have a hard spot in your lineup on opening night from the Rangers, or would you rather take a position you can kind of finesse into your lineup a little bit more easily?
Right. Hayek is maybe more valuable just because of the position. That's interesting. I never really
maybe,
even...
I
know our former coworker Ryan Clark had Hayek being like as a number one take for Seattle for a long time. It could still be that.
I think for us, for the purposes of talking expansion draft, it's really hard to do it without... I think you and I can sit here and prophesize who will be made available. And I think that's as far as we can go. There will come a time when we will see every player exposed to Seattle, and then we can have a real conversation about, all right, who are the Rangers actually in jeopardy of losing here? Until we see that list, though, we're kind of just saying who we think the best player available from the Rangers is going to be. And to that point, I'll be hard-pressed to think of a better player the Rangers make available than Gauthier.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on this situation where I don't know what to make of Blackwell at any point. You know how there's just those seasons, like, remember Lee Stepniak?
Great Lee Stepniak?
Yeah, but Lee Stepniak was good for the Rangers, and then he went to, was it Carolina, and he had like a 20-goal season for them? Or he was just out of nowhere, like Lee Stepniak was like, holy shit, an offensive powerhouse. And maybe Blackwell's just having one of those like magical seasons where he gets all these goals, and maybe next season he only scores like two or three. Like, do I really want to protect Blackwell? But he's like I think he's a really strong fourth liner for a cup contending team. Like, I can't think of how many fourth liners have we had in the past 5 years of doing this show you'd rather have than Blackwell. I can't think of many, if any at all.
Well, that's not fair because the Rangers stopped signing plebs.
They stopped caring. You're right.
Yeah. As much as we love Tanner Glass, the human being, and the meme, he was useless on a fourth line.
Hey.
Cody McLeod served no purpose. Michael Haley, I forgot what he did that made him valuable in the first place. Like, it's tough because the Rangers have transitioned rather recently to go from, all right, we need a guy that's going to throw bows on our fourth line to, well, here's just a jack of all trades, master of none that has some talent, and we're just going to see what the fuck happens. Like, we would have had the same exact conversation if this was last year about Phil DiGiuseppe, because that's what Phil DiGiuseppe did for the Rangers in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. I understand there were points in this year where we were saying, I mean, you just can't expose Colin Blackwell. And maybe Colin Blackwell on his cheap deal is more valuable to the Rangers than he would be Seattle. So it's worth protecting him for not even going down that avenue. But if I'm Seattle, again, am I really going to take a journeyman winger who has found success in his first year with the Rangers, who's also going to be 29 next year, who has 1 year left on his deal before entering free agency?
Right, that's not real value.
Am I going to take a guy like Julian Gauthier, who's 23? I have a restricted free agency,
right? Contract controlled.
Contract control, and is the difference between Julian Gauthier and Colin Blackwell that Blackwell has been getting opportunity this season where Gauthier has been in and out of the lineup, or is the difference, is it something else? You're rolling the dice a little bit there if you're Seattle by being like, I'm going to take the 29-year-old who finally broke through, has 1 year left on his deal, or I'm going to take the 23-year-old who hasn't broken through yet, has some flashes, but I need to get a little bit more seasoning and ice time with to figure out what's actually there. So it's...
I guess part of that, Blackwell too, dude, is like what Seattle's philosophy is. Do they want to go
again?
Young?
It also comes down to who are the first 15 players Seattle takes before they even think about taking someone from the Rangers. It's fit, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the Rangers aren't a team. If the Flyers offer up Van Riemsdyk, if the Predators offer up Ekholm, if like Brett Burns gets made available by San Jose, those are guys you take, and then you fit pieces around them, right? Whoever they take from the Rangers isn't going to be the pinnacle of their draft philosophy. Whoever they take from the Rangers will 100% be a systemic fit with whatever their approach is after they've made some big moves already. So, again, We can sit here and debate as long as we want for as many weeks as we want, leading up to the expansion draft. Would you take Gauthier? Would you take Blackwell? Who's the best player the Rangers are going to make available? Who do you think would hurt the Rangers most from losing? We can have all these discussions. We can't really talk about the Seattle crux of this puzzle until we see the other names listed from other teams. And then I think you can get into it. Like, say Zach Hyman becomes available from Toronto. Zach Hyman is essentially a younger, better Colin Blackwell who maybe just needs more ice time to reach that next level that he's never going to get in Toronto because they have nine higher paid
guys.
Very
curious to see what Toronto does with the Seattle expansion.
So it's difficult to sit here and say, like, there are plenty of scenarios where Seattle might rather have Colin Blackwell than Juan Gauthier, especially considering the year Blackwell has had. But there are equal scenarios where Gauthier will always be the most logical pick. And there are other scenarios where it's got to be Hayek because maybe they just want more, whether we think there's defensive upside there or not with Hayek. Doesn't matter what we think. If Seattle thinks they can reach another level with a very young defenseman who has had a good amount of NHL experience under his belt already, I need to know what Seattle is going to do with other picks. Like, the knockdown no-brainer picks from other teams. Because the Rangers, we're not a no-brainer team. You're going to have to talk yourself into whoever you want to take from the New York Rangers, which, by the way, great position to be if you're a Ranger. You're not going to lose anyone critical, and you're making Seattle's life hard. So you can just sit back and say, hey, whatever, figure it out, on you. I'm not going to give you assets to avoid this player like we saw with Vegas and all that.
Right.
So good luck, figure it out, and we're going to sit back here and keep all our fun little toys, and you won't get any of them.
And that's our BSBOT. We'll be back with the flagship next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can sponsor us and support the podcast at patreon.com/bluechersbreakaway. It means the world to us. You can follow me on Twitter at O'Ryan. You can follow Greg at bluechersbreak. We'll be back next week. Love you guys. Bye.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.